This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
I wonder how many times you've heard, read, or perhaps seen stories in which a doctor has said, "We have done all we can." Or perhaps, a little sadly, "We did all we could." And yet, it isn't always as trite or melodramatic as fiction writers sometimes make it sound. Let me tell you a story of an occasion on which something more than all a doctor can do was needed. And I've called the story "A Turn for the Better."
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Flower Connection has just opened their flagship store in Linden, Johannesburg, at 65 on 4th, situated in 4th Avenue. For fresh-cut flowers, plants, and florist accessories at wholesale prices, come to Flower Connection. Call Jenny on 076-951-9449 or visit our website at www.flowerconnection.com.
If you want to help, then this is what to do. Make sure the water hog is never you. Just make sure the water hog is never you.
My story begins in the early hours of a New Year's Day. A few of the hardier souls still have an hour or two of gaiety and laughter before them, but for most, the parties are over. It's time to go home.
Should old acquaintance be forgot for the sake of auld lang syne? Parson. Great party, isn't it?
Yes, great.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just a little tired, that's all.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Roger.
It's going to be a good year for us, eh?
Hope so.
I tell you what. Look, let's look in and wish Taffy a Happy New Year, huh? I told you he was having his rest, didn't I?
Yes, you did, but it is late, Roger.
Oh, nonsense. You know what Taffy's like. He'll probably go right through the night. And I did say we might look in.
I wasn't thinking of him. I was thinking of us.
Well, why can't we make him out of it? New Year comes but once a year.
I told my mother I wouldn't be too late. She'll probably be waiting up for me.
She's always waiting up for you.
Well, she worries about me. It's only natural. It can't be easy for her all alone.
If you ask me, if you can't have a little bit of fun, then...
Oh, that's silly, Roger. We've had a lot of fun. It was a wonderful party. It's late and I'd like to go home.
And I want to go and have a drink with Taffy.
I think you've had enough already.
Now, what's that supposed to mean? Do you think I'm drunk?
I didn't say that.
You tell me, how many times have you seen me drunk,
Oh, let's not argue.
Just tell me. Are we going to Taffy's place or not?
Well, you can go if you like, but you can drop me off at home first.
All right. I'll drop you home so your mother can tuck you up in bed like a good little girl. Then I'm going out to have some fun. I'm going to have a ball.
Roger, don't be cross.
Who said I was cross?
Well, you're driving as though you're cross.
There's nothing wrong with the way I'm driving.
I'm driving far too fast, and you know it.
You don't have to worry about a thing. You just sit back and relax. Leave it to Roger. Here's to dear old Roger. Drink him down, drink him down. Here's
Roger,
to dear
look
old...
out!
What? Ah! Linda? Linda? Linda. Oh, no, Linda. Help! Help!
Doctor, is she going to be all right?
I'll be frank with you, Mrs. Grossfield. Your daughter's condition is very grave.
How can I see her?
Not at the moment, I'm afraid. I suggest you go home, Mrs. Grossfield. There's nothing you can do to help here. You can phone the sister in the morning. If there's any change, she'll ring you.
No, I'd rather wait in the waiting room, if you don't mind. I couldn't bear to be alone.
Then I'll give you something to help you to relax.
What are her chances, Doctor? Tell me the truth.
There's a pretty fair chance that she'll live. But only in a wheelchair, I'm afraid.
No. Roger?
Mr. Houghton? He's badly shocked, of course. He's under sedation now, but apart from slight bruises and abrasions, he wasn't injured. He must have been thrown clear of the car as it overturned and dropped.
He wasn't injured.
You can see him for a moment, if you like.
No, thank you, Doctor. I don't think I ever want to see that young man again.
After Roger's car had skidded out of control, it overturned, bounced through a guardrail at the side of the road, and dropped some 25 feet down an embankment. Miraculously, he'd been thrown clear, and he escaped without injury. When the ambulance crew had managed to extract Linda Grossfield from the twisted, mangled mess of metal, one of them remarked that she looked as though every bone in her body was broken. A thorough examination at the hospital almost confirmed this alarming on-the-spot diagnosis. 8 ribs were broken on one side, 3 on the other. The left shoulder was dislocated. The pelvis was cracked in 3 places. The right thigh was broken, and there was an open break in the left leg.
I want to know exactly what happened, Roger.
What?
I don't know, Dad. The car just seemed to go out of control. There was nothing I could do.
You must have been going like the wind.
No, I wasn't. I know that road like the back of my hand. I know that bend. I know you can't take it fast. Something must have gone wrong with the steering.
It's almost a brand new car.
Well, things still can go wrong.
You've been drinking.
No. Well, I had a couple at the party, but I was perfectly all right. Look, I know what the roads are like over the new year. It's murder. It's asking for trouble to get drunk.
You probably don't remember very much about it, but the police did a test on you at the hospital. They didn't tell me what the count was, but they did warn me that there's every chance there'll be charges against you.
And Linda?
Yes, there's that too. It'll depend on what happens to her, Roger. But you nearly killed her. From what the doctors told me, it might have been better for her if you had.
Oh, Dad.
Oh. Don't want to sound hard on you, son, but it's a bit late for tears now, isn't it?
Do you think I don't know that? Do you think I need you to tell me that?
Sit down. Try and calm yourself.
I was drunk. Of course I was. I must have had quite a few. But I was all right when I left the party. I just felt merry, you know. It had been a great party, but it seemed to get worse. I suppose the concentration of driving must have made it worse. And then I got stupid. I started a fight with Linda. I knew what I was doing, but I just didn't care. I wanted to go to another party. She didn't. I got angry. I was going far too fast.
Well, now we know the truth.
Do you think that helps? I've known the truth all the time. I'm the one who should be in the hospital bed. You said just now that it might have been better if she'd died. Well, I'll tell you something. I wish I'd died. I wish I was dead.
I'm here, love. No, no, don't try and talk. I'm here. I'll sit with you. It's awful. Shh. Don't tell yourself.
Darling, you're going to be all right. It'll take time. But the doctor says he'll be able to do everything.
Roger? What about Roger?
Don't worry about Roger.
Is he all right?
There's nothing wrong with him at all.
I want to see him.
No, Linda. You have nothing to say to him. In fact, Mr. Benson says that neither of us should say anything to him.
Mr. Benson?
Yes, I've been to see him. He's going to look after the legal side.
Oh, no. No.
You don't think we're not going to sue him, do you? After what he did to you.
Oh.
And it looks as though he's going to be in trouble with the police, too.
Oh, I want to see him. Just once, for a minute. Or two, there's something I've got to tell him. I must talk to him.
What do you want to say to him?
It's just between the two of us, Mum. Will you ask him to come?
I'm not sure.
Please,
Linda.
Please, Mum. Please.
All right, love. I'll telephone as soon as I get home. Now you just try and get some rest.
Houghton here.
Hello, Mr. Houghton. This is Mrs. Grisfield.
Yes, Mrs. Grisfield. How are you?
A little tired, but all right.
Yes, this is a big strain for all of us. How is she?
Very weak. She has a lot of pain. And of course she can hardly move. I tried to tell her that she shouldn't see Roger. I would be telling a lie if I told you anything else.
I understand how you feel, Mrs. Grisfield. My wife and I both do.
But if that's what she wants, it's probably more important. We don't want her fretting about anything.
No, of course not. But I must tell you, I've talked to him about seeing Linda. He says he doesn't want to. He says he could never bring himself to look her in the face again. He's taken this very badly.
So he should, I would have thought.
Yes, of course. Well, I know he got out of that crash without injury, but I wonder if he'll ever really get over it.
Perhaps I should talk to him.
It might help. Will you hold on? I'll call him.
Roger.
Roger. Hello, Mrs. Grisfield.
Yes.
I must ask you to hang up. I've got to get a doctor.
What's the matter?
It's Roger. He's taken something.
What do you mean?
To kill himself.
Within a matter of minutes, the unconscious young man was on his way to hospital. This was obviously an emergency. An admission procedure, the red tape was forgotten. Dr. Newman was satisfied after about half an hour that his latest patient would live, albeit against his temporary will, and he ordered admission to Ward 3C, the psychiatric section of the hospital. There, the case was handed over to Dr. Everton.
He's coming around, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse. Where am I?
I don't know if that's yourself, Mr. Harton. You're in hospital.
Who are you?
My name's Everton, Dr. Everton. What happened?
Yes, I remember. I wanted to die.
Mr. Houghton.
You shouldn't let me die.
With all due respect, Mr. Houghton, there are times when a man doesn't know what he wants. Yeah. Even when he takes an overdose of sleeping tablets, meaning to put an end to it all, it's possible he doesn't know.
I knew. What could there possibly be to live for?
Time passes, and I'm sorry if that sounds like the cliché it is, but it's true. Whatever it is that's bothering him now, it will change. It must do. There's nothing that has any chance of not changing.
Cut out the bedside homilies, Doctor. I don't need them. I don't care what you say. I knew that I wanted to die. I wish you'd let me.
Then why did you take those sleeping tablets in your own home with your mother and father at home, knowing that the chances were they would look in to see you?
Shut up, will you? Don't talk to me like that. You have no right to tell me what I was thinking, what I wanted to do. I'm the one to tell you.
Give him the injection, nurse.
Right.
Give away from me.
Mr. Hartman and I can talk when he has had a rest.
I'm getting out of here.
Now, listen to me, please. Roger.
Now, you listen to me. Does the name Linda Grossfield mean anything to you?
Yes.
Oh.
I have discussed her case at some length with Dr. Newman. He told me all about it.
Did he tell you that I almost killed that girl? I loved her. We were going to be married. That's why we were celebrating the new year, our year. I got drunk, I behaved like a pig, I drove like a lunatic. I ruined her life. Did Dr. Newman tell you that? Did he tell you that you'll probably never be able to walk again, did he?
Yes.
And how can you tell me that I didn't want to die?
She wants to see you, your fiancé.
I don't want to see her.
I'm a psychiatrist, Roger. One of the first lessons I ever learned after I'd qualified was that it's often a mistake to say anything with certainty. It's almost inevitably a mistake to make snap judgments, but I'm going to risk it now.
Well?
You want to see Linda. Of course you do. You loved her.
You're playing with words. I know what you're getting at. All right, let's be clever. I do want to see her. But I can't bring myself to see her.
I'm sticking my neck out again, I know, but isn't it about time you stopped thinking about yourself? It's the girl you're going to marry who's in need of sympathy.
You don't think I don't feel sorry for her? I can never expect her to marry me now. I can never ask her.
But you are going to talk to her. Because that's what she wants.
Linda? Linda?
Roger?
Yes, it's me.
I'm glad you've come.
I don't know what to say.
There's no need to say anything.
I mean, I'm sorry. It sounds so stupid.
You don't even have to say that.
Oh, Linda.
Hush now.
You're the one that should be crying, of course.
No. Did they tell you that I wanted to see you?
Yes, both of them. Dr. Newman and Dr. Everton.
Let me just say what I have to say. It's not easy.
Maybe you should just rest.
No. I wanted you to take your ring back. It's in the drawer of the cabinet there.
Linda.
I can't marry you, Roger.
I understand. How could you after what I've done to you?
No, that's what I have to explain. It's not because of what you did, what happened. But I could never be a real wife to you. I heard the doctor talking. I'm going to be all right. I mean, I'm not going to die or anything. It's going to be a long time before I get out of here. There are going to have to be a lot more operations. And when it's all over, I'm going to have to spend the rest of my lifetime in a wheelchair.
Linda.
Please, let me finish. What I mean is, this has got nothing to do with what you did, or the police, or lawsuits, or insurance, nothing like that. I just wanted you to understand. I was going to make you the best wife any man ever had. You made a mistake, but you don't have to pay for it for the rest of your life.
You're going to have to.
There's nothing anybody can do about that. We can do something about you.
You're a remarkable woman, do you know that? Dr. Everton was right. I suppose deep down I have been feeling sorry for myself. One learns. I thought you were going to tell me that you never wanted to see me again because you hated me.
I love you. But I still never want to see you again. Goodbye, Roger. We had good times together. Thank you.
Linda.
Goodbye.
The months passed. Gradually, stage by stage, according to a carefully planned schedule, Dr. Newman worked to restore Linda Grosfield's broken body to something of its former self. And at the same time, Roger Houghton sought psychiatric help from Dr. Everton, administered gradually, stage by stage, according to a carefully planned schedule. And yet, neither doctor was wholly satisfied with his patient's progress. They met by chance one day in the hospital staff canteen.
Dr. Newman. Mind if I join you?
Oh, no, not at all, old chap. Sit down.
Thank you.
Not often we see you slumming.
It's not often I get time to slum.
Touché.
I'm glad I bumped into you, though. I've been meaning to pay you an official visit. There's something I've been wanting to talk to you about.
Do I get a prize for guessing?
Roger Houghton, Linda Grosfield.
I would have won.
How is she?
Well, to misquote the old cliché, not as well as can be expected.
I see.
We've done everything we can. You know what she was like when she came in here, a wreck. I told you there was little chance she'd ever be able to live outside a wheelchair. Well, the broken bones have all been set. They've been set and broken and reset. It's all been successful, pathologically. But there's something lacking, something missing.
Mm. Yeah, would you like some tea?
No, thanks. I've already had some. Look, I'm pretty good when it comes to teamwork in the limbs or the nerve-muscle partnership. But you're the head man. Is there any such thing as not wanting to get better? Not wanting to be as fit and well as you could be?
Well, that's a very complex question.
I'm looking for a simple, uncomplex answer.
All right. I'll tell you what I think you want to hear. There's definitely such a thing as a conviction, false but real, that there's nothing worth living for.
See. And Roger Houghton?
Not as well as can be expected.
I see.
Well, we've done everything we can.
From what I heard, he was in quite a lot of trouble.
He still could be. He's still going to have to face the music sooner or later. In the meantime, I said he's in no state to even look at the orchestra.
I see.
Something missing, something lacking.
You don't mind by any chance working along the same lines as mine is?
Possibly. Tell me.
What do you think? What I was wondering was this.
Good afternoon, nurse.
Oh, hello, Mr. Houghton.
I'm a bit late for my appointment, I'm afraid.
That's all right. Dr. Everton's running late anyway.
Do you want me to wait over there?
No, not today. The doctor thought he'd like to talk to you in the garden. He'll come out and see you there.
Oh.
He thought it might be easier for you to talk with him there.
All right.
It's down the corridor and through the swing doors at the end.
Yes, I've seen it.
Quite a lot of patients from the other wards use it. You'll see some of them there. Don't let them bother you. You don't have to take any notice of them if you don't want to.
Fine. Well, thank you, nurse.
The doctor will come and find you there.
Linda.
Hello, Roger.
Well, fancy meeting you.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. Dr. Newman says he's very pleased with me.
Good.
And you?
All right, I'm waiting for Dr. Everton.
Oh.
It's funny, I've passed the garden lots of times. I've never seen you out here.
This is the first time I've been out. They wheeled me out today to get some sun. Ward's pretty dark.
Mm. I've often thought of coming to visit you, but you said you didn't want to see me.
Mm. I know.
It's funny, this is the first time I've been sent out here. Do you think maybe that,
What?
No. I just wonder, they could have done it deliberately.
I didn't think so for one minute.
Do you mind if I stay and talk? I mean, if you'd rather I didn't, I'd quite understand.
No, please stay. I'd like you to.
And the two young people talked for the rest of that afternoon, and almost every afternoon after that. And if either of them ever thought to comment on the fact that Dr. Everton never put in an appearance to talk things over with his patient, neither of them ever said anything.
I never thought I'd see it, Miss Grosfield. You walking out of here? I'm happy to have been proven wrong.
Thank you, Doctor. And thank you for everything you've done for me.
It's been a long time.
2 years.
But I only did what I could. I couldn't very well ask you to walk down the aisle to me.
But you can walk down with me. A bride needs somebody to give her away.
And somebody to be waiting for her.
A story with a happy ending, because the doctors realized that when something is missing, something is lacking, there is nothing worth living for. Linda and Roger needed that extra something over and above all that the doctors could do.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.